You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. I want to encourage you to pick up my new book, The DNA of a Man. This book has been selling hundreds and hundreds of copies in the last several months, and it has been revolutionizing the lives of men and even some women alike. I've got messages from guys telling me that they, since reading the book, they have become a more confident and sure and strong husband. Their marriage is getting healed. I've had other guys contact me saying, my marriage has been over, but this book has helped me get back on my feet again. It's helped me realize who I am in Jesus. It's given me hope for a future. I've had other guys contact me, having never been married, saying, this book is giving me confidence. It's showing me the power of my identity in Jesus. It's reframing how I see myself and how I see the world around me. I want to challenge you, if you need more transformation in your life, please, please, please do yourself a favor and pick up The DNA of a Man. It's only $6.90. And you get the PDF file and the Kindle file and a free bonus teaching as well. You can find it at manwarriorking.com/DNA. That's manwarriorking.com/DNA. Thanks, gentlemen. Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another podcast episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am your host, Matt Halleck, and it has actually been a while, gentlemen, since we have posted a new podcast episode, and the reasons for that are several. I'm not going to bore you with all of those right now, but I want to assure you that for those of you who have been waiting and or who have been just wondering, hey, whatever happened to the Man Warrior King podcast, it hasn't gone anywhere. All right? So, glad to be back, glad to be present with you, gentlemen, glad to be providing for you keys to kingdom living, providing for you keys to living as a man in this world. And I'm thankful for you, gentlemen, who have been on this journey. Very thankful for you. Guys, today, the thing that God has been speaking to me a lot about in my life and actually convicting me a lot about in my life, and a message that has been resonating with different gentlemen that I work with, is the idea of becoming a creator, the idea of operating in a creator's mindset. All right, I believe that in this realm, we have two possible mindsets that we could possibly approach life from. One is to be a creator, and one is to be a consumer. One takes action, proactivity, discipline, work, grit, fortitude, endurance. And one is easy. And unfortunately, far too often, we opt for the easy route of being a consumer. And this is actually rooted in an underlying belief, I believe, that we don't really have what it takes. And if you, as a man, are in that position where you feel like, I don't have what it takes. I don't have what it takes in a certain area of my life. I don't have what it takes in life as a whole. I don't have what it takes generally as a man to keep up with other men. You're not alone in that. That's very common. And when we believe that we don't have what it takes or we don't have a whole lot to offer, then what we do is we turn into a consumer of things, of information, of ideas, and we start looking for the next thing to come into us that's going to flow from the outside in to somehow change us and change our situation and make us suddenly feel like we have what it takes. So we're looking to consume either to numb whatever pain we've got going on. We're looking to consume because we're bored in life. We're looking to consume because we're looking for something to bring us the change from the outside in. But this isn't our actual identity. Our identity is that we are sons of our Father. And if you remember, our Father is a creator. He conceives of a thing. He thinks of something. He generates a thought within himself, and he speaks it out, and that thought becomes a world, a universe, a human race. It says in Genesis that darkness hovered over the waters, and in this chaos was in the beginning. And the earth was formless and void, right? And that God spoke into that darkness, into that chaos to bring order. He reached in to the dark chaos and he brought life. He brought meaning. He brought light. This is our dad. And as such, this is our example. And so often when we're looking for some kind of change in our life, we're looking for something to get better. I want my marriage to get better. I want my finances to get better. I want my body to get better. I want to be able to connect with Jesus more than I do. Then we get into this mode where we are constantly looking for the next book to read, the next podcast to listen to. Which is ironic because I've written a book, two books actually, and I'm doing a podcast right now. It's super ironic, and I'm talking kind of-ish against that. But we get into this mode where we're constantly looking to feed our mind with the next podcast episode, the next sermon, the next conference to go visit, the next book to read, the next blog to read, looking for that thing that's going to provide the spark or the trigger that's going to flip something inside of us to finally being better than what it was before we listened to the podcast or read the book or whatever. So we go from this in this obsessive from thing to thing to thing mode, where I'm constantly looking for something on the outside to change me instead of realizing, wait, real life change is going to happen when my mode switches and I stop trying to consume and get changed and I start viewing myself as one who changes. I become an agent of change. I engage in creation. This is proactive. This is taking ownership. This isn't waiting around as a victim for something to be your rescuer. Instead, it's realizing that Jesus is already your rescuer. The Holy Spirit, who is alive and powerful inside of you, is already your life change and your rescuer. Will you step up and act in faith Or will you continue looking for the next salve to make you feel better so that you don't have to sit around licking your wounds anymore? Guys, when we get stuck so often, it's because we don't realize that we can get unstuck. And we're waiting for something to do it for us. And let's take this concept and make it a little bit smaller than just grandiose life change and getting stuck and unstuck and all that. How many of us, when we wake up in the morning, first thing in the morning, we have our phone by our bed, all right? This is like pro tip, practical, get our act together for men kind of life teaching right here. We have our phone sitting by our bed. A lot of us, for me included, it's my alarm. And then, so it's right there. We wake up in the morning, and the first thing we do is instead of taking charge of our day, we lay there for a minute and help ourselves wake up by opening our phone, scrolling through whatever it is we want to scroll through, checking out the headlines, checking out social media, whatever it is, we start consuming things to get our brain entertained. And we set the stage, we set the tone for the rest of our day to be a lazy one, to be a powerless one, to be one in which we're victims. And if we want to see things in our life change, if we want to see marriages change, we have got to start living like conquerors and not victims. So we start our day by inoculating ourselves with something easy. But if you explore the history of our faith, if you explore the fathers and mothers of Christianity, you'll find all over the place men and women who have given of themselves, who have sacrificed of themselves, sacrificed their early morning hours, their late evening hours, not to look at Facebook, but to spend time in the presence of God, to engage with Him, to create their history with Him. The men and women who did something powerful in the world were not passive, but they were active. Martin Luther is quoted as saying, "I have so many things I have to do today that I couldn't possibly spend any less than 4 hours in prayer." Meaning, all the other stuff, all the other noise necessitates that he spend that much more time with the Father, being intentional, taking ownership of himself rather than being tossed around by the circumstances, the demands, the urgent needs, rather than being tossed around by all the external voices. This is powerfully important for us. So as we're laying there in our beds in the morning, scrolling through our phones, we are engaging in passivity. We're consuming. And meanwhile, day after day goes by and we wonder, God, why don't I feel more connected to you? God, why don't I hear you better? God, why are my prayers not getting answered? Maybe it's because we're being passive in our walk with him. So what if instead, first thing in the morning, our alarm goes off and we get up? We don't lay there passively wishing we could sleep longer, but using our phone to help us wake up. We, as a man, force ourselves to get up and maybe even get up a little bit earlier, and we head out of the comfort of our bed and our bedroom, and we get on our knees and we seek the Father. And it's not in this always, it can be sometimes, but it's not always in this desperation of, God, please rescue me. Maybe, what if, instead of wanting to consume from him, we look to create with him, and we say, God, this area of my life is not how I want it to be. It's not how you say it should be.
It doesn't match up with your kingdom. It doesn't match up with your heart. God, I need you. I need you to help me. But also, I'm going to fight this thing. I'm going to declare over this thing. I'm going to engage in the act of creation with my words. And I'm going to say, no, Satan, you will not have my children. They are wandering. They're making some stupid decisions, and I don't know why, but I am declaring over them right now God's presence. I'm declaring the Holy Spirit over them right now, and I'm asking the Spirit to come and rain on them conviction. God, my body is broken. It is struggling. It's got disease and injury. It's not working. I've got a serious illness going on, Father. So, instead of constantly going around and searching for the next thing that I can find in panic and obsession, trying to make it feel better, maybe I'm going to spend time being a creator and saying, Jesus, I thank you that you have already bought healing for my body on the cross. I thank you that this sickness does not belong to me, and I refuse to accept it, and I will go down swinging if that's what it takes, but I will not accept this thing. Now, I'm not saying that in consuming all the time, I'm not saying that consuming all the time is a bad thing, all right? So, it doesn't mean that you can't ever listen to any more sermons, you can't ever go to any more conferences, you can't ever read any more books, do any more research, anything like that. But we, way too often, are just constantly looking to fill the void. We're looking to fill the empty margins of our lives. We're looking to fill those empty moments, those empty spaces with the next thing to consume rather than realizing, oh, great, I've got some empty time right now. Let me put in some creation. Let me put in some time with the Lord, building my history with Him. Let me actually get online and create something instead of consume it. Let me, instead of perusing Facebook and reading everything all the time, let me put up a post that might change somebody's life. Let me start a podcast that might change somebody's life. Let me get out and create something. Instead of looking and wondering how I can always get a raise or get promoted, maybe I need to do a side hustle. Maybe I need to start a side project and create. Instead of wondering when I'm finally going to get hit with the Holy Spirit in such a way where I can walk around and pray for people to be healed, and I'm automatically going to have the kingdom of God flowing through my hands and life's going to be amazing and people are going to be falling over every time I walk by. Let me go out and actually just start praying for people. Let me go out and actually pray for somebody to be healed. Let me go out and actually speak a word of encouragement to some stranger. Or ask, hey, Jesus, what do you want to say to this person? Listen for a moment and take a risk and say it and see if it's right. We got to stop waiting and consuming everything we can, hoping that that switch is going to get flipped. And we have got to go be active and proactive and create, you guys. This is what we have got to do. We've got to stop looking to consume from our wives and start being a creator of the atmosphere. Don't manipulate her into filling your emptiness. Don't manipulate your marriage into filling your emptiness because you just need to consume. Set your eyes on a goal. Set your eyes on a target, a desire that you have for your marriage, and become an architect so that you can guide your marriage to that. It's a vastly different mindset, gentlemen. But if we stay stuck in where we've always been, it's a recipe for pain, heartache, and disaster. Guys, this stuff is powerful. The Bible is full of it. James says that our tongues are like the rudder of a ship. And even though it's the smallest thing on it, it steers the entire ship. This says that the power of life and death is in our tongue. Guys, we can choose how to steer the course of our lives by whether we are going to proactively step out or passively take what comes. So I want to encourage you that if you find yourself in this consuming mode, if this is your normal way of doing life, it's okay. There is zero shame and condemnation, but it's time to stop. Let me rephrase that. You are okay, but this act is not. And I want to be honest with you. I'm talking to myself as much as to anybody else right now. One of the things that God has been massively speaking to me over the last few weeks while I have not put out additional podcast episodes has been, Matt, you need to trust the instinct inside of you. You need to trust the Holy Spirit leading you. You need to trust my words getting deposited into you and act on them. Because you guys, real talk, all right? Vulnerability, open moment. When you are building a business, when you're creating a podcast, when you are writing a book and you're figuring out how to market all these things, I am by nature more naturally inclined to be a preacher, somebody who ministers to others, to pray for others, all right? That's where I flow. I'm less naturally inclined in building a business, in marketing. And so it's very easy for me to constantly be researching to find the next thing, to find the next technique to use. What's the thing that I haven't used yet that I should try? And all of a sudden, I get into this obsessive consumption mode, and I neglect the fact that I have a connection with the Father, I have a connection with heaven, and I can engage with Him, and I can take what He gives me and put it out into the world. And trust Him to fill in the gaps that I don't know. And yes, I want to do things with excellence. I want to be researching and knowing how to do things as best I can. I want to be an example of excellence among the church and the world. But I can also be an example of a man who brings his loaves and fishes and lets the Lord multiply that thing to feed 5,000. So we should always be defaulting towards action. And we can course correct. We can adjust. We can pick ourselves up if we fall flat on our face. But we should be defaulting toward action rather than inaction, because we need to just consume some more stuff and build our knowledge without letting it out anywhere. It also says in James, guys, that we are to be doers of the word and not only hearers. Because if we just hear the word and we don't actually get out and do, in other words, if we just consume and we don't get out and create, then we are fooling ourselves, it says. We're deceiving ourselves, and we're like a man who looks in the mirror and then walks away and immediately forgets what he saw. If we don't put into action the word of the Lord for us. So I want to challenge you, gentlemen. Get out. Get outside of yourself. Create. Don't just passively take it. I want to thank you guys for listening. Until next time, which will not be as long as this past time, this has been Matt Halleck with the Man Warrior King podcast. Bless you, gentlemen. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.